Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a preemptive good morning from Ned, so Ned, a special good morning to you. Always appreciate that. Well, it is good to be here as we enter this Advent season, isn't it? And if you're visiting with us, I hope you will take an opportunity to fill out one of those information cards that you'll find in your bulletin. And let us know how we can be praying for you, supporting you. Even if you have been here for many, many years, let us know how we can be praying for you and supporting you. And this is a neat church family to be a part of during this Christmas season. And I want to also thank Sarah for putting together these Advent readings this year and our theme for Advent. As we go and look at Christ in these various aspects of Christmas. And I also want to thank the Demas family for sharing and Carl for sharing your experience growing up. And so as we dive in deeper to this Advent theme, let's spend some time in prayer. Father, we are filled with thanks and we're filled with joy because you love us. And you didn't leave us to our own devices. You sent your Son. Lord, we are going to run off and go do whatever. And we have run off and done whatever with our lives. But you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. And so even as we celebrate Jesus' birth, we celebrate the cross at the same time. And so, Father, would you encourage us through your word, speak to our hearts. Lord, we want to see Christ in everything this Christmas. And so we just now want to give ourselves to you. And so we give you this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I appreciate Carl sharing his experience of having a Christmas tree lot growing up. And I was thinking about that because when I was growing up, my family was a little bit of Christmas tree snobs. As we were growing up, because I remember growing up that we would always used to drive up into the foothills around the Bay Area, and we would go to a Christmas tree farm, and it wasn't that the lots were beneath us or anything like that, but like that's just what we did. We drove up into the hills, and we cut down our own Christmas tree, and so I remember going up and walking around all of these trees, and also going up the windy road. And so by the time you get to the Christmas tree farm, you're not feeling all of that good because you're feeling a little carsick. And then, of course, in that condition, then you have to pick out what kind of tree you're going to get. And then, of course, there's the annual fight that erupts over what kind of tree. You know, there's these kinds over here, and then these kinds on the other side of the farm. And eventually we settle on something and we cut it down. And, you know, then you get the little wheelbarrow type thing and you have to push it through the mud and get it back to your car and, you know, tradition, right? So that was our experience growing up. Well, my folks later on, when they retired, they moved up to the Lake Tahoe area. And Tahoe has a program where you can cut down your Christmas tree. Kind of supposedly helps the forest and all of this type of a thing. So if the tree is a certain height and if it's a certain distance from other trees, you can go cut down your tree. And so even once my folks moved, we had the wonderful experience of going through the snow. I mean, it was kind of like that idyllic Christmas scene, right? Walking through the snow, looking for a Christmas tree and cutting it down. And so given all of that, you know, getting a tree at a Christmas tree lot was actually kind of a little bit of a letdown for me. But I've really adapted to it being here in San Diego because, you know, there's not a whole lot of snow and mountains to go through. But for the many years now we have gotten our tree at a Christmas tree lot. And so I've kind of perfected my technique of buying trees at a Christmas tree lot. And I just want to share a few of my experiences here. And this is not based on any data any other than my own observations. And so if you have had different experiences, that's fine. You can email me this week. But here's what I have noticed. First of all, we always go on a Friday night. Because on Friday night is when and also you don't want to go too early in the season because otherwise... by the time you get to Christmas, your tree's kind of dried out, and yeah, it can start dying. And so we usually go, not right after Thanksgiving, but a little later. But we would always go on a Friday. And that's because as tree lots get ready for the weekend, that's when they bring in all their fresh trees. And so sometimes we were able, and we've been able to, as a family, see a tree that was still wrapped up. It hadn't even been, unwrapped for presentation. We said, hey, we want to look at that one. So by going on Friday night, we were able to get the freshest, nicest tree, and the one that's going to last the longest. Because, we didn't want the tree that's already been sitting there for 3 weeks and was half dead already. So that was one of our strategies, is to go on that Friday evening. Of course, that has issues because then you're walking around a dark Christmas tree lot in the parking lot of a Sprouts or something, and then you're wondering where your kids are, and that's a whole other thing to worry about. But, so for us at least, we don't go too early in the season, and we always go on a Friday night. Well, why these strategies? Well, trees die. That's why. All trees eventually die. And so our strategy was to get the freshest tree that would last the longest. But you see, even when you get the freshest tree, even when you get the best tree on the lot, even if you go somewhere here in San Diego and find a Christmas tree farm and cut down your own tree, even if you keep regularly putting water in the bottom, what eventually happens to that tree? It dies. Two things eventually happen. One, it stops drinking water. And two, the needles start falling off. And it's happening because the tree is slowly but surely dying. Now you can say, well, I have done all away with all of that, and I have an artificial tree. Which is a totally legitimate route to go. And my folks eventually got an artificial tree because my sister-in-law has allergies and can't deal with the smell, and okay, totally fine. But other than allergies, what's the main reason to get an artificial tree? So that it won't die. Right? So we all come back to this reminder that trees have a limited lifespan. And so even as we enter this joyful Advent season, we actually have to face a harsh reality. And that is that everything in this world eventually dies. I mean, think of the universe itself. The universe is spinning and doing its thing, but any physicist will tell you that the universe is running out of energy. It's like a top. If you spin a top, what's eventually going to happen to that top? It's going to fall over. It's going to run out of energy. And really, that's what happens. That's what's happening with the universe. And the example of trees. There are trees. There are some trees that live for hundreds upon hundreds of years, right? But what eventually happens to them? They die. Cactus are similar. They can live. They can have very, very long lifespans. And my in-laws live in Arizona, and so one time they gave the kids this children's book about cacti and all of that. It was like the life cycle of a cacti, and talking about when the cactus dies at the end and how birds still use it. And I'm reading this, I'm going, this is so sad. But even the cacti that live for a really, really long time, they eventually die. And our bodies break down as they get older. And I know relatively, I'm still young, but look, I know that I'm getting older and my body's breaking down. 2 weeks ago, our family did a 5K run through the kids' soccer league, and it was a lot of fun, and we had a blast. I was in pain after that. Seriously. And now Joanna and I go to the gym, and, we do our thing, and I do my cardio, quite regularly. But it's one thing to do a cardio on a machine. It's another thing to do cardio on hard concrete. And for the past 2 weeks, my foot's been hurting. I've been walking the dog, and I'm like doing this, and the dog's pulling me along. And so I'm feeling it. And so even though I'm relatively young, my body's breaking down. And if you look at studies, the human body really kind of peaks out at its max capacity in the 20s, 30s, maybe 40s, depending on what you're measuring. Well, let's put it this way. And yes, granted, with exercise you can keep your body, you know, healthy. But you don't really see any NFL superstars in their 50s, do you? Right? Because most NFL players, they're done by their mid-30s. If they even last that long. For running backs, they're out even sooner just because of the beating their body takes. And so, once you get past a certain point, it's kind of all downhill from there. And we were reminded of this even just this past week as we said goodbye to our brother Gene. And as we honored him and celebrated his life. And yes, that was a celebration on Friday. Let's just say that. For those of you who are here on Friday, wasn't that a wonderful celebration? It was a really neat and wonderful time. But man, it also hurts. Because it reminds us that death is real. And that all of us are kind of on this slow decline. And you may be saying, well, Steve, this is such a buzzkill here. Why are we talking about death and dying on the first Sunday of Advent? But all of this reminds us that the world is not the way it's supposed to be. You see, since Genesis 3, since the fall of mankind, all humanity, and indeed the entire world, has had to live under the reality of sin. And the world is not the way it's supposed to be. You know, Paul writes this in Romans 8:22. He says this, "We know the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." And so this world is not the way it's supposed to be. And so the question then is, where does our hope come from at Christmas? And it's certainly, given all of this death and dying stuff, what we can say is that our hope does not come from the things of this world. And if you're taking notes, you can write that down. Our hope does not come from the things of this world. You know, we have wonderful traditions and we celebrate wonderful things, but that really is not where our hope comes, because everything ultimately dies. And so there's a longing in us for something bigger, for something greater, for something more wonderful, really for something eternal. There is a longing for all of us for something that is beyond this world. You know, near Christianity, C.S. Lewis even recognizes this, that he says this, the quote is not on your screen, but you can just listen to this. He says, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." And that's true, isn't it? We are made for something other than this world. And so there really is a longing for us, especially when we experience death and dying and the reality of this life. There's a longing in us for something eternal. There's a longing in us for something that lasts. There's a longing in us for something that never dies. And that is why Advent is so exciting. Because in Advent, in Christmas, it gives us hope of something that is eternal, of something that does not die. Because Jesus, in coming to earth, taking on humanity, dying for our sins, it gives us a hope. It gives us a hope that's beyond this world. And Jesus gives us the hope of eternal life. And let me just share again the verse that Carl shared with us earlier from John 17:3. "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And so you see, hope does not come from anything in this world, because nothing in this world is going to last. Again, even the trees that last for hundreds of years and things that outlast human beings by hundreds of years, they never last. And so the only hope in this world comes from the promise of eternal life. And so the hope Jesus offers us this Christmas is eternal life. And if you're taking notes, you can write that down. The hope Jesus offers us this Christmas is eternal life. And that really is the hope that everyone was looking for when Jesus was born. You know, as you read through the birth narratives of Jesus' birth in Luke 2, you may be wondering, well, why is everyone just totally freaking out over a little baby? And yes, there's the whole angel stuff and all of that, but everyone is kind of going crazy. And in Luke 2, and we're not going to look at these verses, but in Luke 2 we see Jesus taken to the temple when he is about 40 days old to be presented as the firstborn son, dedicated as the firstborn son. And you got this old dude, Samuel, and this old prophetess, Anna, and they are freaking out and they are rejoicing and praising God and prophesying and saying, this is going to lead to the restoration and reconciliation of Israel. There is this huge hope for something better, for something in the future. And you see, Jesus ignites this hope that we have for something eternal, something that will not die. And when we trust in Jesus for our salvation, we have a beautiful and glorious hope that we get to look forward to. And it's certainly not of this world, but it's something that is far better. Look at what we have to look forward to. Listen to Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. This is describes the new heavens and the new earth when, after Jesus returns again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Oh, after this weekend, isn't that a beautiful thing? He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and then this promise gets even better. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. My friends, that is a hope that does not die. That is a hope that is last. That is a hope that is eternal. And so our hope this Christmas is not in the things of this world, but in the things that are to come. Jesus offers us hope this Christmas. Jesus offers us eternal life. And the Bible says that the way that we can have eternal life is through Jesus. Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when we come through Jesus, when we turn away from trying to be our own God, and we say, Lord, I am done being my own God, and I trust in you, and I want to follow you. And when that really describes our heart, then we enter into this beautiful, beautiful relationship with the one true God. And that really is eternal life. And that's what Jesus says in John 17:3. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. And so Jesus offers an opportunity to know God, to be reconciled to God, and to then experience eternal life with the one true God. So the question is, how does that really give us hope? Right? That's a hope of a glorious future, and we absolutely can and should look forward to that. But how does that help us now? Because we are still in this life. We're still in this world. We still face difficulties and trials and struggles and pain and heartache and loss. So how does this help us now? Well, first of all, what it doesn't mean is that we don't have to be happy about our trials. Right? This is not a put on a happy face, let's put a positive spin on our trials and our difficulties. Jesus wants you to be positive. That's not what this is about. Right? Anyone who says, hey, you just have to be happy about your trials, is either completely insensitive or they've never experienced any trials, which is probably not likely. But trials are not a happy thing, right? Trials are just that. Trials, they stink. So this is not a put on a happy face, grin and bear it, let's just be positive message. But this is what this hope gives us, is that despite the difficulty of the pain and the suffering and the trials that we go through, we can have joy, especially at Christmas. Not because of the trial, but because we know that even if it's for only a season, one day this suffering is going to end. One day it will be over. Again, to go back to Revelation, one day there's going to be a time where there are no more tears, no more pain, no more crying, no more death. And so we know that even if we are in the valley of the shadow of death, like it says in Psalm 23, one day that's going to be over. And we're never going to have to deal with that again. Ever. And for the person who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, a glorious future awaits us. You know, think about it this way. When you've gone through a very painful season in your life, what helps? Well, one of the things that just helps naturally is time. Right? The longer you get away from a period of pain and you have a period of peace, time does heal wounds, doesn't it? Well, imagine what a few million years of eternal life in the presence of our Heavenly Father, imagine what that will do to the wounds of this life. Imagine what eternal life will do in terms of healing. And so we can face death, knowing that for the person who believes in Jesus, death is not the end. And we can face sickness, knowing that one day it's going to be gone. And this is not to minimize the struggles and the sicknesses and the trials that we go through, but in comparison with eternal life, everything that we suffer through and struggle through in this life is going to seem like a blip. It's going to seem like nothing when we are with our Father for all eternity. And so we can have hope and joy even in the midst of something horrible. Even in the midst of something horrible like cancer. Matt Chandler is the pastor of the Village Church in Dallas, in and around Dallas, Texas. There's a few campuses. And a few years ago, he was diagnosed with a horrible form of brain cancer. And he underwent extreme treatment. He had chemotherapy. He also had brain surgery. You could actually still see videos to this day of him preaching right after he was having the chemo and the brain surgery. And you see like the big, you know, he's bald and you see the big, huge scar in his head where the surgery was. And right before he had this brain surgery, he and his family made a video for his congregation. Because they didn't know after this surgery if Matt Chandler would still be Matt Chandler. They thought Matt Chandler might be a very different person. Matt Chandler could be in a vegetative state after this surgery. They just didn't know going into the surgery. And so they made this video for their congregation to encourage them and to point them to the hope that is found in eternal life. And so the video was not a, I don't know what's going to happen. The video was very, very positive. Well, the Associated Press found this video online. And the Associated Press was so stupefied by this video. Because they said, here's a guy who is facing devastating surgery. I mean, he could be completely gone. Even if he survives it, he could just be in a vegetative state after this. And he has so much hope. And they just couldn't process through it. And so they were so confused that the Associated Press sent a reporter to go live with the Chandler family to figure out, how could you be so hopeful and joyful when facing such dire circumstances? And this reporter lived with them, and the report that he eventually filed with the Associated Press was basically a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the Chandler family, even facing those dire circumstances, had hope. They had hope of something far greater. They had something hope. Their hope was not in whether he was healed or not, even though they were hopeful that he would recover. Their ultimate hope was in the eternal life that was found in Jesus Christ. And we can have that hope too, even as we go through those difficult times. You know, when we face difficult relationships, and I know all of us have difficult relationships or have had difficult relationships, whether they're with family or friends, and there just doesn't seem any way to reconcile those things. Well, we can persevere in trying to reconcile those relationships, knowing that one day, everything's going to be fully reconciled. Everything is going to be fully dealt with. And so we can persevere in those things. And even when we're running this race that is our life, and we feel like we're just running uphill, and the slope that we're running uphill is just a sheet of ice, and we're actually sliding backwards as we try to run up, we can keep taking steps forward because we know that one day the race is going to be over. One day we can have this hope of eternal life. And so Jesus offers us hope this Christmas. He offers eternal life. The hope that we really need is not in this world. It's not in any of the fun, wonderful things that we're going to do this Christmas. And I don't want to downplay that. Right? All of the traditions and the celebrations, those are great. That's not ultimately where our hope comes from. Our hope comes from Jesus. Our hope comes from saying yes to Jesus. And turning away from being our own God and our own boss and our own CEO and letting Jesus be Lord of our lives. And so my hope and prayer for us is that we can all live and experience the hope that is eternal life this Christmas. And that's not just a future hope, but that gives us hope now. That helps us persevere now. And so, as we close here, I don't know what kind of Christmas tree you'll have. Maybe you'll even just have a Christmas shrub. Maybe it'll be like a Christmas stick, like in the Charlie Brown special, you know, type of a thing, a little, you know, thing. Whatever you have, let it be a reminder to us that nothing in this world lasts. And that's not a depressing message. That just points us to the hope that what really lasts is eternal life. What really lasts is the hope that we have of spending eternity. Just try wrapping your heads around that for a minute. Eternity with Jesus Christ, sitting at the throne of the Most High God, worshiping day in and day out. And so as we decorate our Christmas trees and do all of our Christmas stuff, may that be the hope that fuels us this Christmas. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are in awe of your love for us. We stand in awe that you sent your Son as a baby to grow, to experience humanity, to experience our trials and our temptations, to live the life we should have lived, and to die the death we should have died. Father, we are blown away when we think about that, of your love for us. Father, would you infuse us with hope this Christmas? Not because of anything in this world, but because of the eternal life that you offer through Jesus Christ. I pray that that would be the hope that fuels our joy and fuels our celebration this Christmas. And Father, we want to ask for forgiveness for the times where we have placed our hope in things that do not last. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would do a work in us this Christmas to take our dependency off of those things and to place our dependency only on you, radically on you. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today who has not experienced the assurance of knowing they can have eternal life, that they would place their trust in you, in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because again, he lived the life that we should have lived, and he died the death that we should have died. And I pray that this would be a Christmas season, not just of tradition, but of celebration, of new life in Christ. So, Father, may this be a time where we don't just celebrate Jesus' birth, but where we celebrate the birth of brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to come to you. Even as we prepare to come to this communion table, Father, help us to come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.